Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick and this is an episode 2 of the Island series. We started in the deep south on Rakiora Stewart Island and now we're island hopping to Waiheke Island, a short 35-minute ferry from downtown Auckland. It's a place known for its vineyards, sea views and laid-back pace. A few years back, I visited Waiheke on one of those perfect summer days, the kind where the sea shimmers like glass, cicadas hum in the background, and time seems to stretch on forever. Up on the eastern end, or as locals call it, the bottom end of the island, with the gardens in full bloom and the view that stops you in your tracks, it felt like the only place in the world you would want to be. This location sure knows how to turn it on with its charm when the sun is out. Today, I'm joined by Liz and Glenn, the founders of Waiheke Distilling Co., along with Tanya, who plays a key role in creating the experience for visitors. Welcome, team.
Hello. Nice to meet you. Join you, Susie.
Thank you. Now, Liz and Glenn, what were your lives like before starting Waiheke Distilling? Were you working in the world of spirits or something completely different? Liz?
Well, I think it's quite different, actually. Couldn't be further from it, actually. Certainly we were probably enjoying beverages from the other side of the bar in both what we were doing. But no, I was working on various projects and Glenn was actually teaching in the maths and science area.
Oh, I see. Right. So I can see how the distilling and the maths and science crosses over there. Now, have you always lived on Waiheke or did something draw you to this part of the island?
No, we haven't. We're very keen to make a lifestyle shift and we did have a vision to, craft spirits and Glenn has a strong family background in sort of publicans and his father did a lot of his own distilling for about 40 or 50 odd years, and so we had come up, whether it was a great idea or not, we had come up with this idea to have a lifestyle property and be able to produce our own spirits, and we thought that Waiheke was a great spot to be able to do that. It's far enough to sort of feel like you're away from it all, but close enough to be in touch with people in the market as you need to be.
Absolutely. So, Tanya, how did you become involved in the distillery, and what's your role today?
Thanks, Susie. Well, my husband and I moved to a lifestyle property on the island a few years ago after a career in predominantly media. And I was introduced to Liz and Glenn by a mutual friend who thought I could help them out with a bit of marketing and events. Look, it was certainly a massive step change going from a huge corporate to a family-owned and boutique business. But once I saw the distillery, the garden bar, I learned about how they approached the craft of making the spirits, of course, tasted the range, I was absolutely confident that these brands had incredible potential, both domestically and internationally. So today, starting off from those sort of part-time helping out in marketing, today I'm sales and marketing director, so I'm responsible for all of the sales of the Island Spirit range. I work with all our strategic partners. I lead the brand story and work with Glenn and Liz on new product development and, of course, marketing this amazing garden bar, distillery and pizzeria. So it's a fantastic job, and the office view never gets old.
I was going to say, you certainly have one of the best views in the house. Now, yeah. Let's talk about this. You are located in a beautifully restored wool shed above Cowles Bay, surrounded by botanical gardens. Can you tell me, Glenn, what can visitors expect when they arrive?
Well, most visitors are actually blown away, really, with the view when they arrive. And once they sort of get over that, they can settle down and enjoy some of the products from our bar. So we have a full cocktail bar where we offer a range of gin and vodka cocktails and gin and tonics and sodas, as well as a range of food and drinks as well.
Do you still have the frozen cocktails?
Absolutely,
yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yep, they're very popular over the summer. We don't even running over the winter, but they're one of the most popular drinks in the summer. Yes.
Yeah. No, they are outstanding. That is something I remember from my visit. So tell me, how does obviously you've got the amazing view. How does the landscape shape your vision and the brand and tasting experience? Tanya, perhaps you answer that.
Yeah, sure. Well, we always tend to start off sharing a little bit about the history of the bay, the fact that the very first hotel ever built on the island was actually in the bay below us. We've got some amazing historical photos of big steamships and people coming over from the Coromandel to spend a night in the pub. We also tell them about the inspiration behind our company brand and our signature gin, which is a beautiful windswept Pūtūkawa tree that was photographed in the bay below us in 1890s. That tree's still there today, which is pretty amazing. It's quite gnarly, but it's a real testament to, I think, you know, what is that so synonymous with a coastal summer. So we really, take our time to share the story, honour the rich hospitality and agricultural history of the place. We obviously talk to them about the investment that was made in creating the botanical gardens, which is our ideas factory, and that really fuels our garden to glass philosophy. So a lot of our way that we present our perfect serves are from garnishes from the garden, whatever we can harvest directly from the garden, like the lemongrass and our hibiscus honey vodka, for example. So people really love, you know, hearing about, you know, what makes this place so unique. And people can have a look at the garden. We have, you know, a very rustic island style vibe. There's bean bags, picnic tables. And really, as Glenn said, you know, it takes a good 15 minutes to get people seated, because really what they want to do is take photos of the view and just look in awe at out to the islands and over to the Coromandel.
Yeah, it really is. I can't talk about enough about how amazing the view is. Right, so let's talk about the spirits. You really showcase the island. You've got your gins, the Spirit of Waiheke, your Red Ruby, and your Waiheke Dry, and then you've got your botanical vodkas, each with their own personalities. What defines each one for you? Liz, do you want to talk about the gins?
Certainly. The Spirit of Waiheke, as you mentioned, it's a beautiful coastal gin. Both the Spirit of Waiheke and the Waiheke Dry are a London dry gin, so they're made in a single distillation. The Spirit of Waiheke is our island-inspired contemporary London dry, so we've got giant kelp in there. We've got sort of spray-free lemon and lime that we harvest from the bay down below us. It's very approachable, really well-balanced, and I must admit, probably one of its biggest flaws is that it is very drinkable, and you do find yourself getting to that second glass quite quickly. So, that's certainly a very much my go-to favourite. The Waiheke Dry, as I mentioned, also a London Dry. It's a more traditional botanical blend, more juniper forward, so stands up really well in a cocktail. Little bit of heat and spice at the back coming from some pink peppercorn. And the citrus that we use in there is a Seville orange and a lemon. So it's for those that like their gin just so and quite traditional and pairs well with your classic Indian tonic, the Waiheke Dry is a good choice. And then we have what we call certainly the jewel in the gin collection, which is the red ruby, beautiful colour. It's a London Dry style base, and we cut the spirit with a pressed South Island cherry. And that's all that's giving it that lovely, lovely colour in the glass that holds no matter what you throw at it in terms of your mixes, and a subtle sweetness. There's no other additives or sweeteners or anything else in that gin. It's a very beautiful, decadent, and quite unique product that we have got global following on. So that's quite special as well.
Yeah, I must say it's one of my favourites. Over ice at the end of the night is that perfect way to finish an evening. Glenn, do you want to tell us about your vodkas and the personalities they hold?
Sure. The vodkas that we make are botanical vodkas, so we make them the same way we make the gins, where we flavour them during the distillation with botanicals. Of course, they don't have any juniper in them, so that otherwise they would be gins as well.
Right.
But we've tried to use botanicals from New Zealand and from our area. The horopito spice, the first one, obviously has horopito, which is the New Zealand bush pepper, if you like. Mm-hmm. Offers a spicy, peppery note. It also has grains of paradise, lime, pink peppercorn, and cardamom as some of the sort of key botanicals. And that particular one, we did get a gold at the London Spirit Awards, and it's a great vodka for a martini, dirty martini, or we also used it in our.
The Bloody Marys, lovely.
Bloody Mary, which is very popular. Yes.
A restorative Bloody Mary with horopito.
Oh yes, that sounds delicious. And then you've also gone into your ready to drink gin and tonic cans. How did that come about? Is that something you're going to expand?
Yeah, well, that was really interesting. We were very determined if we were going to enter into that category, we wanted it to be very premium and to do it in a very considered and strategic way. So Fuller's were actually our anchor client, and we were very grateful to them for their trust in us developing something. We took over a year to get the formulation right, so we were very careful about it. It's a very premium RTD. It's 7%. It's used making our Spirit of Waiheke gin, the one that's paired with the Mediterranean style tonic, and then our Red Ruby gin with the blood orange soda as the jewel of Waiheke. So, look, these sort of genre-defying RTDs have been fantastic from both a sort of cash flow perspective, but also just as a perfect serve drink that, you know, they sell on all the ferries, they sell at premium outdoor events for bar-pressed staff, they're on golf courses, they're in lodges and mini bars. And we see there's quite a lot of opportunity to expand around perhaps the provisioning to the Bodhi market and in retail as well. Plus, they're also the perfect way to market ourselves for people coming to the island, because they're getting to enjoy a taste of Waiheke as they journey to us. So I think they've been a huge success for us.
Yeah, I certainly, it is nice to enjoy a proper gin and tonic on the ferry when you're travelling over to Waiheke, that's for sure. Right now, Glenn and Liz, you mentioned, Glenn, you mentioned about the awards before. You've earned medals at the USA Spirit Awards, the London Spirit Awards, and the New Zealand Spirit Awards. You were also featured in the Strive for Perfection, the official Platinum Jubilee Edition, alongside Rolls-Royce and BMW. And you created a gin for the BMW i7 electric car launch. Which recognition or opportunity has made you feel the proudest of what you've achieved, Glenn?
I guess the recognition of the botanical vodkas, the Horopito spice, and the London Spirit Awards was a really great accolade, and being the top New Zealand spirit in that whole competition. The other vodkas also performed well. The Kawakawa Summer received a silver. That was a real highlight. We really satisfied with that.
Because arguably we've been almost a little bit ahead of the curve with the botanical vodkas. So to get, recognition on an international stage of and being able to showcase New Zealand native botanicals like Horopito, Kawakawa, that's really quite an honour, and shows that, those unique flavours, are attractive to that international palate. Yeah. From the Garden Bar perspective, we were also pretty stoked to get mentioned in Lonely Planet's top 100 worldwide destinations. That was another big celebration.
Absolutely. And that's a really important part that you mentioned there, Tanya, because that's something that sets New Zealand spirits apart from the rest of the world is our indigenous botanicals. So it is great that you achieved such a high recognition and, like you said, on an international palate. Lonely Planet, couldn't agree with them more, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the challenges of running a distillery on the island. What have been some of the biggest hurdles that you've had to navigate? Liz?
I think that little piece of water between the mainland and Waiheke is some of the most expensive waters globally, I would say. So logistics... And just the cost of operating where we do, not only are we on Waiheke Island, but we're also the furthest place you can probably be from where the ferries enter the island. That presents challenges, but at the same time, it also presents an opportunity to visit a sort of off the beaten track, intrepid and beautifully unspoiled location. So once you get there, it's quite special. So we have good relationships with our suppliers, and that's really important, being so isolated, and the postal and the couriers and all the businesses we work with, we're very, very grateful for too. Because without them, we just couldn't do what we do. Anyone who's coming from our distillery, team members and family members, they're normally burdened with some goods to take across with them back to the mainland. I call it the literal gin mules, because there's a lot of goodwill from people helping out when we live where we do.
Yes, I know. With my father being on the island, he calls himself the Goldie Courier. So there's definitely a bit of that going on. So then on the flip side, what are the benefits of being based on the island? I mean, obviously your story wouldn't be the same if you were in central Auckland. How has the island shaped your success?
Yeah, well, I think we are just so blessed. I would say we've got some of the best water in the world. That's probably a big call, but the rainwater that we collect, the beautiful natural botanicals that we've got, the kawakawa that we forage and collect from around us, is beautiful. Being able to live and work in one of the most beautiful parts of New Zealand, if not the world, is an absolute privilege. and the amazing people that come and visit us in the garden bar and the people that we've met on this journey, I mean, that has just been very special. We're very blessed. Recently, Kiwi have been released down our end of the island, which again is something quite special and unique. And, you know, a lot of people are looking for, you know, authenticity, and they're looking for sort of meaningfulness behind products and what they're consuming. And we like to think that we can contribute to that positively for people.
Absolutely. Tell a whole story. So you're spray free, bee friendly and low waste. How do those values influence your day-to-day decisions in approaching distilling? Glenn, do you want to answer that?
We use the spent botanicals on our garden as compost, and we try to use sustainable practices where we can in the manufacturing and the products we use. So we try to use produce from the island itself if we can. So we certainly have a sustainable philosophy and what we're trying to achieve.
And a lot of investment as well. When I first started with the team, Susie, there was, you know, regular power cuts. Liz and Glenn, just being in a remote part of the island, Liz and Glenn have actually invested in a massive solar-powered system that powers the distillery and garden bar. The product design on the bottles is, you know, deliberately very art forward and minimum, so it encourages people to reuse those bottles. Mm-hmm. All of our packaging is compostable. And as Glenn said, you know, every part of the botanicals, what we use, gets reused. So the juice gets used in the cocktails in the bar from the citrus after we've hand peeled and dehydrated it, and then it'll go back into the garden. So everything we do, I think, is, you know, being an island business, but it is definitely part of our values and ethos, is to be as sustainable as we can and to leave this incredible, pristine part of the world intact.
Absolutely. Now, I've also read that you support causes like the Pioneer Project and Events for Women in Trades. What is community involvement? Why is community involvement so important to you? Tanya?
Well, again, we, you know, as part of our value set, you know, we feel giving back to the community and being socially responsible is critical. As Liz said, we've had a lot of help and a lot of support from customers and suppliers, and we think it's important to give back. I mean, we do get a lot of inquiries every week. We'd love to be able to support everybody, but we generally have, you know, a range of charities that we support, from sort of arts through to sports, from both ends of, I guess, life stage, and, you know, hospice and children's health. We have done things. That particular event that you were talking about was actually the Master Electricians, which is a nice tie-in, because anyone that knows much about distilling will know there's a heck of a lot of electrical work behind a still setup. And Glenn is actually an electrical engineer by trade, so it was wonderful to be talking to a room of hundreds of women electricians and owners of local electrical stores. So yeah, we really we love being involved in things that, you know, champion causes and creates kind of a win-win for who we're working with and how we can help.
Great. Now, looking ahead, what's next for Waiheke Distilling? Tanya, you mentioned you were there part of product development. Is there any new spirits or projects or collaborations in the works that you can share?
Yes, there is. We actually really pride ourselves on doing collaborations, and I think a great example of that is our barrel-aged gin. So we have a limited edition. It's our most premium product that we do. The one that's currently in the market at the moment was a collaboration with Tantalus Estate. So Glenn carefully aged our gin in a Tantalus Reserve Chardonnay French oak barrel. And that has created a really beautiful sort of darker spirit, a higher ABV. We won a double gold from the previous limited edition batch that we did. And then we have, which is breaking news, Susie, so you, this is a scoop. We actually have the Stony Ridge team coming tomorrow to do an early tasting of the barrel-aged gin that we've done with them, which is on their incredible La Rose Bordeaux. So the demand for that and interest in that has been off the charts. So that's incredibly exciting. We also will be able to announce in the next few weeks that we've been signed by a pretty major distributor. So that is, again, very exciting from a sort of driving our domestic growth. And then, yeah, we have a few little ideas bubbling away in some different categories that we might be looking to launch later in the year. So, yeah, it's never dull. Yeah, Susie, we are always busy.
Oh, I'm loving the sound of that Stony Ridge gin. That's going to be something very special indeed. Right, finally, now we know what Liz loves to drink. Tanya and Glenn, what is your go-to drink from the distillery? And where on the island do you love to enjoy it?
I guess my go-to drink would be our Spirit of Waikiki and tonic. It's it's something I really enjoy, and especially on a after a warm day, not so much on these cold days.
not at all. And for you, Tanya?
Well, I have pretty expensive taste, so I love our barrel-aged gin. And I know that Sam at Alibi Bar in Tantalus there makes an incredible premium cocktail with it. So that is worthwhile. But look, so many of these wonderful wineries and restaurants around the island do amazing cocktails with our products. So I would love to shout out to them all. But that barrel-aged gin is something very unique and special.
I'm going to have to get over to the island and try that, because that's the only one I haven't tried. Right, Liz, Glenn, Tanya, thank you for sharing your story today. From transforming a wool shed to crafting spirits with international reach, your journey is a shining part of New Zealand's growing island spirit scene. So thank you for joining me.
Cheers.
Listeners, whether you're planning a visit to Waiheke or browsing from home, check out Waiheke Distilling online or at their beautiful Cowes Bay location, a place you really must visit. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.